James chapter number 5, we began speaking last Wednesday night about the prayer of a righteous man. Let's continue thinking about this tonight. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Let's read it all out loud together, all right? Here we go. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right, let's think about that again. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. So we can be effectual, we can be fervent, but if we're not righteous, we're not going to have much availing prayer. And so let's think about this once again tonight and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the fact that you have taken care of everything. And Lord, we should have the joy of the Lord. No matter what might be a burden, Lord, you say bring our burdens to you. Cast our cares on you, for you care for us. So we rejoice in that. Lord, I pray that we would be not just a people that spend time praying, but that our prayer would avail much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Quickly, as we were looking at this last week, just quickly to get into, to not re-preach everything, but we were focusing on that theme of a righteous man. And this, we mentioned in an introduction that it's a saved man who has been given righteousness. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. But not only that, because when we got saved, we were given the righteousness of Christ. Okay? But not only that, every day of our life, we are presented with choices. And we can either yield to the Spirit or we can yield to the flesh. That's our decision to make. Now, we can equip ourselves, and I would encourage you to do this. Really, a lot of our life could be really simplified down to making decisions ahead of time. There's a lot of, I noticed this. If we wait until the heat of the battle to make a decision, many times the flesh is going to win. But if we will set some guidelines in our life, biblical guidelines in our life, then the decisions are already made. And so that when a decision comes up, it's really not a decision because we made it back here. You know, I'd encourage you as parents, especially with children in the home, make some decisions, get some guidelines within your family that there are certain things that when this comes up, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it just like this because we have a biblical principle and a decision has already been made. The importance of being in church. The importance of reading God's Word. And these are elementary. We would think these are elementary, but, you know, it's amazing how many times Christians, myself included, maybe about other things that I didn't mention publicly here, though, that if I would just make the decision that this is what's going to be, when it's time to make it, I've already made it. And really, that makes life that much simpler, quite frankly. And because I believe the enemy loves to get us just letting our minds think about it way too much. And no, we need to already have determined some things about our homes and our own personal lives. So anyway, this righteousness, it's an experiential righteousness, and it's mentioned in chapter 16 in the way of confessing faults and praying for one another. In order to have that effective prayer life or that effectual prayer life, I must be righteous, okay? And so what we did last week was where we began was several hindrances to having that effectual, fervent prayer life that avails much. Number one, we said a contentious home life. And I'm just going to read these. Number two, we said a bad temper or a bad spirit. We said number three, an unforgiving heart, an unforgiving heart. We said number four, a lack of organization. And that's where we talked about being specific in our prayer life. And, you know, to specifically pray about even some of the things that we try to send out to you in email form. And thank you for praying for Mrs. White, by the way. I don't know if you had a chance to see her email before coming to church, but that surgery was successful, and she's already home. She is recovering, and we praise the Lord for that. And that was a specific prayer. We don't want to just ask for in too much generality. If we have something that's specific, let's pray about it. And praise the Lord for the passport. Today, Susanna was met with, at first she was met with a roadblock, and she basically just said, No, I'm not leaving until I talk to someone else. They were talking about 10 more business days and blah, 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 and this and that and the other thing. We've been praying for that. You've been praying for that. And they said, you'll have it tomorrow at noon by the time it's all said and done, tomorrow at noon. And so as we pray, let's not be disorganized in the sense of let's pray specifically. Let's pray for that $2,500 plane ticket to be provided. We don't want to just pray for the Paulician family in general. If we know they have a need, let's pray for it. You know, let's pray for these specific things. And I know I think we've talked about that enough here, and I believe God help us, we'll do better at it. But an improper number five, we said that something that is a hindrance to having a righteous prayer life or a effectual prayer life that avails much is an improper time and place. Trying to find a place to pray without distractions. Leaving something behind that is distracting. If you're going to go into a time of prayer, why do you think Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6 and other places, you know, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, you know, I don't know that you necessarily need to go into this closet over here and shut the door and pray. But if it takes that, if it takes I don't mean to be, you know, crass here, but if you need to go into the washroom at your house and shut the door to not be disturbed, it's okay. You can do that. Go in there and shut the door, you know, and have a time of without, man, I'm raising both hands. I'd raise both feet if I could. We are living in a time of distractions. We are a distracted people. By the way, they will definitely come when it's prayer time. Probably more than any other time. When it's prayer time. Find your place. Find your closet. Then, number six, I think we got this far. We said number six, there's an indifference to the Bible. Indifference to the Bible. Turn to John chapter 15. Let's look at another verse of Scripture here. An indifference to the Bible. Thank God for His Word. May we not only read it, but may we obey it. May we not only read it, but may we heed it. John 15:7, if my words abide in you, if ye abide in me, excuse me, and my words abide in you, God's Word abides in us, you know what's going to happen? It's going to help us to have an effectual prayer life that avails much. If my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So let's think of the opposite of that. If His words do not abide in us, we shall ask what we will, and it won't happen, right? I mean, again, aren't you glad for the clear teaching of God's Word, and you can read it for yourself every day? I mean, yes, thankfully we can come to church several times a week, but aren't you glad that that's not the only time that we can get fed from the Word of God? We can open it up every day, and man, a verse can just illuminate off the page. I've read it 100 times, but today it was illuminated for me. You know, in our prayer life, this is part of the key to the prayer life. This book and the prayer life go together. You can't throw this out and say, I'm going to have a prayer life with very little time, or I'm going to have a prayer life with no... Both of them go together. I'm going to have just Bible time and no prayer. That's not going very far either. We need both of them together. So an indifference to the Bible, number six, is a hindrance. Mark 4. Let's go to Mark 4. And thinking about that lack of organization, back up at number four, I would also add to that, if you want to have a prayer life that avails much, you have to plan for that. You have to schedule it, right? Somebody I was talking to today said, I live by a schedule. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We do need to be scheduled. And I find if I don't schedule something, I very rarely... do it. Now, I don't have everything that I do in the day written on my calendar, but I have a lot of the things written on my calendar. There's a few things that have become habit, and I don't think you can, I don't think you have to say that a habit is always a bad thing just because you do something habitually. You know, if you read the Bible with a heart that is tender toward the things of God's word and pray and seek God's face habitually, that's not a bad thing. There's a lot of other things that I do habitually that are bad habits, right? Like biting your fingernails. That's a bad habit. I still catch myself doing that. So I'm saying that we get into God's word by the way, you sit down and eat habitually several times a day, at least twice, sometimes three times, add in all the snack times and all of that. That's not necessarily a good thing, but I'm just saying, plan for it. If I were to ask you, do you have a prayer life, and your prayer life consisted of just minuscule times of prayer, I would probably say it's because you haven't planned. I haven't planned. Mark chapter 4, verse number 19. Mark 4, verse number 19 says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. And it becometh what? Unfruitful." The seventh hindrance to a prayer life is that we have too many worldly cares and earthly pleasures. Too many worldly cares and earthly pleasures. What we have to ask ourselves is this: is my heart filled with the things of this world? You know, the goals of this world, is that what my heart is filled with? Is my heart filled with even worldly cares? Doesn't necessarily all have to mean sinful things. Is my heart filled? Am I worried? That's a worldly care. Am I worried about something? No, God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want us to fret. Again, I'm not preaching at you. I'm saying this. A lot of this is for me. Because I can easily sit down, and if I let my mind wander into certain areas, I can begin to worry. I can tell you right then, I'm not thinking about prayer. Because everything that God brings into our life, we can bring to the Lord. He's our Father. He doesn't want to give us a stone. He doesn't want to give us a serpent. He wants to take care of us. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to relieve those cares, as we talked about earlier. But if my heart is filled with the things of this world, if my heart is filled with the goals of this world, boy, praise the Lord for His provision. Praise the Lord for the money that He's given you. Money is not evil. Praise God that He takes care of us. Praise God that you were able to make your rent payment again, or your mortgage payment, or whatever payment for your roof over your head. Praise God that you were able to take care of the finances within your home. And we may have some financial needs within your home, or my home, or other homes tonight represented. But here's the good news. God is going to take care of it all. He always does, and He always will. But that's where, but there's a fine line between that and making that my objective. Making that my goal, and that's where the love of money is the root of all evil. And we know that this world is so wrapped up in many times in wealth, and it doesn't necessarily, and there's nothing wrong again with having wealth. But here's the thought: power in prayer does not come to those who still are enamored with what the world has to offer. Enamored means it captivates. It captivates. On the way here tonight, thankfully it was driving really fast and I didn't have time to get captivated by it. But I was driving down Armstrong Avenue on the way here tonight, and man, this really cool souped up Mustang. Before I knew it was a Mustang, it was already by me, and you could just hear the roar as it went. And I did. I'm going to tell you the truth. I thought, boy, I would love to have that car. I'd love to drive it maybe once. You know, you push on the pedal and there's $5 or $10 in fuel. But I would love to have a Mustang like that. But you know what? I can't get enamored by that. Because every car that we drive, no matter how nice it sounds or not nice it sounds, it's not going with us when we leave this world. Every beautiful thing that God allows us to have, and praise the Lord for His provision, what we want to avoid is we want to avoid getting captivated by it. Getting enamored. You know what I want to get captivated by? The Bible being printed in Botswana for the first time. That is captivating. And by the way, we are supporting that family. We're supporting that ministry. And to have Eric Bowman there with a group, that's captivating. There's two families that we're supporting every month, working together, bringing other people to the country of Botswana. That's something that we want to be captivated by. That's something that we want to again, continue to invest in. And let me just say, I know we're not talking about money, but we're getting to it, I guess, for some reason. But thank you for giving to the missions program of this church. Praise God for what we're able to do here. Those are the things that we want. Why? Why do we want to get captivated by that and be enamored with that? Because it's eternal. It's eternal. And so when we're talking about our prayer life, I don't want this thing here always thinking about temporal. To be a man of prayer, to have a righteous, be a righteous person in prayer, I'm going to have to make sure that the worldly cares and earthly pleasures are suppressed. Billy Sunday said, you will never have power until there is nothing questionable in your life. What is there in your life that is questionable? I remember someone preaching years ago, take the question out of questionable. And they were the whole premise to the message was, if there's something that you're doing in your life and you wonder, is this something that I should be doing? Is this music that I should be listening to? Is this a book that I should be reading? Is this a friend? They're questions, right? Are these clothes something I should be wearing? Is this a lifestyle? Whatever. Just all this. If there's a question, hey, go to God's Word. Because God's Word answers the questions. If it's worldly and if it's leading us to a world view, let's just stay. By the way, I would rather err on the side of caution. Get the question out of questionable. If we say tonight we want God's power in prayer, do we know what that means? Because I cannot have God's power in prayer if the world still has a hold of me. Or I guess I should say this, I still have a hold of the world. They don't work yet. That doesn't work out. I've got to let go of the cares of this world. Letter number 8, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Prayer of a righteous man. Hebrews 11. This is a big one. This is a big one. Oh, I'm sure it's one that we all, from time to time. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is known for what word primarily? Faith. Hebrews 11:6, you probably have it memorized. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, who are we going to when we pray? God. Right? Jesus said, say this, our Father, which art in heaven. Now again, we don't have to repeat that prayer, but it is a model prayer. We are going to our Father. He that cometh to God. We're coming to God with this amazing request. If we're going to come to God, we must believe that He is. And that He is a what? Rewarder. Well, I'm going to bring this need to God, but see, as soon as we say, but, that's it. We don't believe. I'm going to bring this need to God, however, okay, that's it. You might as well stop. You don't really believe. We bring that need to God. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That prayer of importunity, where we just keep asking and asking and asking and asking. I submit to you tonight, do we believe God can? God answers prayer of a childlike faith. It doesn't have to be, if you think of Moses standing here, right? It's verse number 8, or Abraham, excuse me. By faith, Abraham. And yes, Abraham had faith. I'm not belittling Abraham's faith. I'm just saying, let's make sure that we don't get to the point where we think, well, I don't have Abraham's faith, so I can't have faith. That's not what this is saying at all. I mean, we want to teach our children. We have young people in this room tonight that are 7, 8, 9. They in comparison, they don't necessarily on par have the faith of Abraham in our eyes, but in God's eyes, yes, they do. Because if they believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, they might be praying for something that's green. I want a green one of these, God. God, I need pray for my cousin, God, who's sick and she's not well and she needs to be healed, God. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's a childlike faith. And we begin to teach our young people, bring those requests to God. Whatever they are, nothing is too small. God wants to hear from all of us regarding those needs. God answers prayer from a childlike faith. Praying specifically helps build our faith. We talked about that earlier. Praying specifically helps build our faith. There isn't anything too small to pray about. So, a lack of faith. We could speak a whole message on a lack of faith. Let's get to the last one, number 9. Go to John 9, please. John 9. Hindrances to having a righteous prayer life. What I'm trying to convey to us last week and this week is this. Picture this scenario. You come to me and you have a very urgent prayer request. Brother Ramon, you come to me and you have a very urgent prayer request. Brother Barry, it doesn't matter who it is. You come to me, I come to you. You go to somebody else that's in this congregation and you've got a very urgent prayer request. Do you know what you're going to want? You're going to want someone praying that matches this text. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Saved man, but also experiencing righteousness all the time. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we fall. Yes, we still sin. But we don't have to be someone, and that's what we're going to talk about right here. We don't have to be someone who is an expert at it. The Bible says in John 9 and verse 31, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God," pardon me, "and doeth his will," what's the next three words? "Him he heareth." I looked up that word sinners in the Greek. Harmatolos. I know that changed your life. Harmatolos. But it's good to look these words up. You know what it means? Devoted to sin. Let me tell you this. If you need somebody to get a hold of God, you are not going to go to someone and ask them to pray for you who is devoted to sin. I believe this is a saved person, by the way. Saved people, unfortunately, can still be devoted to sin. They'll get to a place where God says, "That's it, you're done. You're going to have to come to heaven because you're not getting right." No, who are you going to want praying for you? You're going to want someone who's going to God on your behalf, who, yes, isn't sinless, but they're not devoted to it. They're a worshiper of God. They recognize, man, I got to get sin out of my life. I want to have the power of God. I don't want to be thinking like I used to think anymore. I want to be thinking biblical things. I want to do His will. I want to speak when He says speak. I want to be quiet when He says be quiet. I want to love when He says love. I want to correct. I mean, anyway, I want to be in the will of God. You know, that really jumped out to me, that word, sinners, coming from a Greek word meaning devoted to sin. That's like saying, if, you know, I haven't read my Bible for a week, would you pray for me? You come to me, and I told you, you know, I haven't read my Bible for a week. You know what I'd say? You know what? You need to get right with God, and I'll go ask somebody else to pray for me. Because if you can't ignore this book for a week and then expect to get a hold of God, it's not going to work. Until, it says in Psalm 66, 18, you know the verse, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities. There's a separation between me and God, not that he's not my Savior anymore, but that fellowship has been separated. Why? My iniquities. My sin. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know the famous verses in 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know what? I always just read verse 14, though. And I normally don't go to 15. You know the first word of verse 15 is the word now. In other words, something's going to change. Now we can do something. You know what it says? Here's what it says. Now mine eyes shall be open. Why? Repentance. Why? A sense of humility. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. It could be that that we go to church and maybe we even read our Bibles and maybe we try to pray, but there's unconfessed sin in our life. We need to get that sin out of our life so that we can get to the now of our prayer life. 2 Chronicles 7:15. Now my eyes are open. Now my ears are open. I love what it says in Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Sorry. How presumptuous we are to think that God will choose to answer the prayers of those who are in rebellion against him. Since the Lord refuses to hear and answer the prayers of those who refuse to hear and obey him, doesn't it make sense that in order to have a God-honoring prayer life, we would be living a righteous life? Let's look at one more verse. Psalm 65, verse 2. Read 1 and 2. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer. O thou that hearest prayer. Almost like it's a name. Unto thee shall all flesh come. I have no doubt in my mind that God wants to answer our prayer. It may not be what we want, but it'll be what is good for us and for his glory. But I know this for sure. Our prayer life is not going to be effective and it's not going to avail much when our life is not a righteous life. So we've talked about 9 different things. I wonder if there's one thing of those 9 that you would say, you know, that's something that I need to definitely, with God's help, I need to overcome, so I can have an availing prayer life. Again, why spend 30 minutes in prayer? It's valuable time. You know what I want it to be? I want it to be honoring to God. I don't want to come into God's presence with in this pocket I've got this particular thing that needs to be dealt with, and in this pocket I have this over here. I need to come and just empty out my pockets. This isn't even talking about the elements of prayer and what all, but I'm just saying the righteous man's prayer doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be big words. It's going to avail much. And I'd like to think that God would help you and help me to be in an attitude of prayer throughout the day. God's put something on our heart and on our mind. We just pause, and we might be at work, but we might be able to just pray for just a brief moment. We can't maybe go into the closet and shut the door, but we can pray for a brief moment. God lays somebody on our heart. Again, if you had an urgent need, you would want someone that could get a hold of God's power. You know what? That's how I want to live my life. I'm not saying that I have the prayer life that I need. I need a better prayer life. I need a more of a availing prayer life. But I believe if we'll consider these thoughts from God's word, our prayer life can be effectual.